Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Akiva, how are you today?
I'm as good as I could be, considering I totally lost my voice, so yeah. Podcasting.
And yeah, you know, last week we started with the biggest news of the week, I think, in your life and mine, which was, of course, my having finished my podcast backlog. But this week we are going to start with the Mets, and I'm going to complain, because they're really screwing up our podcasting schedule.
Yeah, well, good news for you. By Saturday night, the series may be over, and no matter what, we don't have to worry about it next week, probably.
The very pessimistic Mets fan, although you always are.
Syndergaard might do well. He hasn't really shown any signs of tiring, but we're going up against their ace in game three. We certainly have, on paper, a huge advantage in the game four pitching matchup, but I don't know. They just seem to have our signs.
What are they doing now that they pitched Young in game one?
Oh, yeah. He only threw like 50 pitches, so he'll just pitch on 3 days rest. And, you know, their bullpen's so good that if he pitches 3-4 innings, they could, you know, gap the middle until
they
get
good,
to Davis.
But it's not that deep, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Huckover, or whoever you pronounce his name.
I think it's Hoshever, but I'm not sure.
No, it's not. That's not how Buck's been saying it.
You know, I just want to point out that after game one went an absurd 14 innings, I posted on Twitter, I said, can we all agree to only play 4 innings tomorrow to make up for it? And a couple of Mets fans, friends of mine, attacked me and said that was like an anti-Mets bias somehow. But I would just like to point out that if we had done that last night, the Mets would have won 1-0.
Yeah, so. The Mets did only play 4 innings last night. That's fair.
Yeah, well, they took my advice. I literally was told that was an anti-Mets opinion somehow because a shorter game would benefit the Royals bullpen or I don't even know. I mean, they did not.
I'm not even mad right now because the Royals are really good. The Mets aren't doing anything wrong. I do hope that if the Mets lose this series in 4 or in 5, they realize that to get to the mountaintop, they have to spend more money in the offseason. And even if they don't re-sign Cespedes and/or Murphy, they have to get like a, you know, one really big bat in the middle, and they have a lot of holes.
But, they gave Michael Kadire $14 million a year last year.
All right, so and you know that's one more year of Kadire, but they don't have a lot of guys. They have very few people making any money. They have some arbitrations this year, but that's pretty set. Let's talk about football, where I have a team that might actually that might actually win the championship.
Yeah, you know, you have a team that lost last week, but is looking pretty good. We both have 4-2 teams, and they're fairly close to each other. I have them 9-10 in my power rankings this week, and I've seen a bunch of different power rankings this week, and they all have the Vikings and Jets within a couple spots of them. So let's start at the top with tonight's game, and that's the New England Patriots, and they have another home game against a divisional opponent. And, you know, right off the bat, I can tell you, I've been doing this every week this year and it's been working. I'm going to pick against New England against the spread because they really give up that backdoor cover every time. And I thought
for
sure.
Yeah, they've done it 3 times already.
And I thought for sure this past week against the Jets, once it was 30-20, I'm like, oh crap, they're going to cover because the Jets are obviously going to try and get a touchdown, which they're not going to score. But then the Jets went for the field goal. I can only assume because Todd Bowles had also picked the Jets to cover.
Yeah, I mean, ooh, Todd Bowles. That the clock management stuff. How bad was that?
Yeah, look, they weren't going to win anyways. But
no, but it's just a bad sign for the future. Like, you don't want to know that your coach. I was saying, you know, Rex was our coach for 6 seasons. I think was it 5 or 6 now? I forget. And he really didn't have a lot of, for whatever reason, even though they were competitive. They were in the playoffs twice and competitive a third season. Like. He didn't really have a lot of situations to screw up the clock, just flukily, like it didn't happen a lot during his tenure. But, you know, you can get exposed a lot doing it. Do you think the Patriots, you know, talking about the Patriots-Dolphins game, do you think the Patriots, like, are a transcendent team, or do you just think they're good?
No, I don't think they've earned that yet. You know, they're not blowing teams out, as we said, against the spread. I think they're, what, 2-4, or maybe even 1-5.
Yeah, they're winning by 14.5 points a game, which is good, but it's not. But
most of that is because of the Jacksonville game, right? I mean, almost every other game has been single digits.
Do the Dolphins have a chance to win this game?
No, I don't think so. I think that the hype about the look, the Dolphins are a team 2 weeks ago who we said was terrible. They're falling apart. They're done. You know, they fire their coach, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this is really a matchup of the two best coaches in the NFL. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, everybody's climbing over themselves to talk about how the Dolphins are so phenomenal again. But look, I mean, what have they done exactly? They beat the Titans and the Texans, two of the worst three teams in the NFL, if not the two worst teams.
If they were bad, they wouldn't be killing teams.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, beating the Titans and the Texans, you know, that hasn't earned you anything in my book. Let's see what they do this week against the Patriots. I think we both thought that their coach, he's only the coach because the coordinators were so bad they couldn't pick one of them. You know, as a Dolphins fan, I'd be worried. Because I don't want the Dolphins to do too well this year and trick them into actually extending him as their full-time coach. Because, you know, I think he's a gimmick and a disaster waiting to happen. The Vikings had Mike Tice, who was also a position coach, who they elevated to head coach when they fired Dennis Green because Red McCombs is too cheap to pay a real coach. And, I mean, it was actually comical. I think that Tice was making $600,000 a year, and the next lowest paid head coach in the NFL was over $2 million. So he was far and away making less than anybody else. He was completely underqualified, you know, and you saw the results there. So if I was a Dolphins fan, I'd be very worried.
Well, that's why he had to sell his Super Bowl tickets, right? Because he wasn't making enough money.
Tice. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He had to make his money somehow. He also he introduced George Bush in 2004 when he came for a campaign stop in Minnesota, which some people were upset about. But again, you know, this is a guy who needed every dollar he could get. So I didn't fault him for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that the Patriots are going to win this game fairly easily today, but I do think that Tannehill will get a late touchdown.
I'll pick Patriots win, Dolphins cover too.
Yeah.
But who who won our spread prediction this week?
So this week, Akiva, you had a rough week. Your second to worst week of the year, actually. So I beat you this week, and I actually beat Bill and Sal as well. I beat Sal on the tiebreaker. And so for the season, I'm now beating you 6-1. But, you know, this is the first time you've done it. I've been doing this for like 8 years now. So it's a challenge. But, you know, and then in the four-way matchup, Sal has won 3 weeks. I've won 2 weeks. And you and Bill have each won a week. You know, we'll get to those. Most of these, you know, were pretty close. There was a couple that you were off on. And we can talk about those when we get to them.
Okay.
Also, last week, for the first time this year, I beat you in Pick'em. I went 10-4 and you went just 7-7. You picked a bunch of road teams, Pittsburgh, Philly, Baltimore. The Vikings, they did win, that was the only road team that you picked that won that we disagreed on. You also picked Atlanta, of course, but so did I. So we're now tied on the season, at least since we started counting in terms of wins and losses. But we both have New England in this game, of course. Now let's get to another London game and a game between, from my perspective, two very similar teams, frankly. It's almost the NFC and AFC versions of the same team, unless you want to say that the Ravens are the AFC version of the Lions, but I think the Ravens are better. And that's Detroit and Kansas City. And the reason I say that is because those are two teams who have really underwhelmed this season in terms of their record. But if you look at it, they haven't really lost any games they were favored. They just had tough schedules and they didn't, you know, produce better than expected in any of them. They both suffered from injuries. KC, obviously, you know, people thought their season was over when they lost Jamal Charles. But since then, they had a reasonably close game in Minnesota. And then they beat Pittsburgh last week. And Pittsburgh, as we said, you know, even with Roethlisberger out, was chugging along. So this was a game I was way off on the line. I had it as a straight pick 'em. I thought the teams were even and the games in London. And Kansas City's heavily favored. And you beat me on this one. Why is Kansas City heavily favored in this game?
I don't know. I mean, it's a neutral site game, you know, even though it's the Chiefs wasting a home game. I just think that people believe that the doors are coming off the Lions wagon, and the offensive line of Detroit is so terrible right now that, you know, the solid front seven of Kansas City, it was probably going to be, you know, in Stafford's face all day. People are really souring on Stafford and asking if he's really good in the first place. You know, Smith, I think we're just seeing, you know, the beginning of like his decline as he's older. I don't know. Like story of this game.
Who's Smith?
Alex Smith.
Oh.
Who do you think I was talking about?
Well, I was thinking of Calvin Johnson, and I thought you were just mixing up generic last names.
No. Listen. So anyway, to me, the real story of this game is Jim Caldwell versus Andy Reid, and what could happen? Because this could be like the rare sequel that's better than the original from last year's like incredible Detroit London.
The Lions Falcons game, yeah, in last year in London. The thing about the Lions is last week, they were playing the Vikings at home. The Vikings had beaten them pretty handily in Minnesota, and the Vikings were favored. But you and I had both picked the. We had both predicted incorrectly that the Lions would actually be favored, and I actually went ahead and thought the Lions were going to win the game. And the Lions go down the field and score a touchdown each of their first two drives, take a very fast 14-3 lead. They looked really good. There was a bomb to Calvin Johnson. There was another one to Eric Ebron. And then they did nothing the rest of the game. Stafford got sacked 7 times. He got hit at least another 12 or 13 times. And their offense just completely ground to a halt.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll actually pick Detroit in this game, but not with any degree of confidence.
Yeah, this is a game where it's really impossible to have any confidence in who you're picking. I'm going to go ahead and pick Kansas City, because as you said, I think things are falling apart more in Detroit. Kansas City still possibly erroneously thinks they have a shot at the playoffs. Although, when we get to the end of today's podcast, we can discuss my updated postseason predictions. And I think that 8-8 now gets it in as a wild card in the AFC.
No, I strongly disagree, but okay, keep going.
Well, you'll be pleasantly surprised to hear who I have as the sixth seed, though.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, it's the Jets.
So, all right, so we're done with Detroit, Kansas City?
Yeah, we spent too much time on that game already.
All right, so Atlanta, Tampa, I think, I'm so confused with Atlanta. Atlanta's already swept the entire NFC East. They won all four games against the NFC East.
But they continue to underwhelm.
Yeah, I mean, they were so bad. The last two results are a double-digit loss to New Orleans, who stinks, and barely beating Tennessee, who might be the worst team in the NFL. So,
and the week before that, they barely beat Washington at home in overtime.
Washington's fine, though. I don't have any problem barely beating Washington. To me, Washington's competent most weeks. They did blow out the Texans, which you should be doing because the Texans are awful. So now they're 6-1, and they still have games left against the Jaguars and the Bucks twice. So, I mean, this team is making the playoffs, and they're like one of the worst 6-1 teams ever, probably.
Yeah, well, that 14-2 team that went to the Super Bowl in 98 did not impress me. Although at least they had Jamal Anderson. Although this year,
no, that was a rock solid team. I mean,
We don't need to talk about the 98.
No, we do, because I mean, Chandler had a really good year. Jamal Anderson had the best year of his career. That team had a good defense. Like, the team was fine. It wasn't, I don't know if that team is 6-1 also, but this team is for sure making the playoffs. Like we said, their hardest game left is probably in Carolina. You know, they have both games left against the Panthers in December. They don't even start with them till December 13th. But yeah, the Falcons are locked to at least win 10 games. And if they don't win the division, which I don't think they will, they'll be the 5 seed in the NFC.
Yeah, well, we'll get to those predictions at the end of the podcast. But I think Atlanta's going to win this game, but I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the board here and say Tampa's going to win in Atlanta this week.
Oh, wow. So I think that all four teams in that division are fairly even, which is really what I thought on the preseason. I thought they were all about 6-10. Atlanta and Carolina are better than that, but I still think that just about every team in that division is going to go 3-3 in the division, although Carolina already banked a win at Tampa Bay, so that could be wrong. But I haven't been impressed by Atlanta. They are 6-1. But Carolina's is keeping them busy. So they have to keep winning.
I feel like this
really
is going to be a good game. I like to watch. I feel like there's going to be a lot going on.
Yeah. I'm sure Jameis will have a pick six in it.
This is, by the way, we should mention, because last week's schedule was so weak after the Jets Patriots game. This week's schedule is really solid.
Yeah. Well, there's three good games.
Pittsburgh Cincy is a good game.
Pittsburgh Cincy is one of the top two or three games we've had yet this season.
Yes, the Green Bay Denver
is very, very good.
Somebody pointed out that they put the Green Bay Denver game here to directly destroy the World Series. Like, that's why good game on Sunday night here.
Yeah, but you said you don't even think there's going to be a Game 5 of the World Series, right?
Well, I don't know if Roger Goodell knew that, although who knows what he's up to. He might be deflating. He might be deflating the Mets baseballs. I don't know.
Look, I like football and then basketball in that order more than I like baseball.
Wow!
But it does kind of annoy me when I see all these people on Twitter watching NBA regular season games or NFL regular season games over the World Series. But on Sunday,
it is
night,
true. I do think, but I do that. Like when the Royals are in the Giants are in the World Series, I don't watch that. But
Green Bay Denver is going to destroy the
no matter what. Even if the Mets win the next two, it's going to annihilate it. Like if the Cubs were in there. even so,
you know what? I think if it was the Cubs against the Yankees and it was against a Philly Carolina Sunday night game, Sunday night football would still destroy because that's what football does.
You're probably right. What's the third good game then?
Well, so at least, you know, I'm looking at my power rankings. The third game between teams in the top half of my power rankings is Miami at New England tonight.
Yes, that's a good game. I'd say none of the even Indy at Carolina is an interesting game. Like, can Indy do anything against Carolina?
Well, but look, last week we
had the Jets Raiders is an interesting game.
Last week we had Jets at New England as the best game of the week, and this week, you know, the sort of the equivalent of that, which is Miami at New England, is a distant third. So yeah, there's two strong games. This week.
There's a lot of evenly matched. Like, I'm curious to see, the Giants in New Orleans. Like, that's, you know, two teams that can throw the ball around. That could be a really good game to watch. And
let's talk about that one now. Okay. New Orleans, all of a sudden, maybe they're good at question mark. I really don't know what to think about them. You know, they beat the Falcons pretty easily at home. And then they destroyed the Colts in Indy. The Colts haven't won a game all year except against their division, of course. The Giants have really been Jekyll and Hyde. They're up, they're down. Then they were down 2 weeks ago. Last week, they beat the Cowboys, but only because of, you know, a kick return. It wasn't particularly impressive of a game. I think the Saints are going to win, but, you know, I don't say that with a lot of confidence. You actually, this was a game you were way off. The Saints are favored by 3.5. You had the Giants favored by 3.
Yeah. I don't know. The Giants are better. It doesn't make sense why the Saints are favored just because they're at home.
Yeah, see, I don't think so. I think that both teams have shown good flashes and bad flashes, but New Orleans has been good lately. And, you know, who's the running back for the Giants?
Doesn't
right
matter.
Now? Orleans Darkwa?
Listen, don't mess with Orleans Darkwa. The Giants could win playoff games with the team they currently have. If Eli gets hot.
Well, you're just basing this on the fact that Eli has won playoff games.
Have you seen Eli's numbers under the new coordinator versus under Gilbride? Just, he's become a different quarterback.
I mean, he's been throwing picks the last couple of weeks.
So anyway,
they have JPP back with some of his.
No, he's not playing this week, I don't think. but Eli, what's it called? Like, the Saints have no chance of winning a playoff game this season. The Giants do. Like, the Giants just have a different gear. Their best gear is
different. So you expect the Giants to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, they should be favored, is all I'm saying. But yeah,
you're big on the road teams again this week.
Yeah, I'm going crazy. I mean, it didn't work for me in my confidence pool last week going all like road upsets, but I think I only hit one out of my four big upsets. But I mean, this isn't a huge upset, obviously. I'll take the Giants here.
All right. Now we have San Francisco at St. Louis. This line was way too high, I thought. But I think I've been listening to you talk too much about how good San Francisco is.
I've been on the Rams bandwagon.
So I was surprised by this line, and then I checked my power rankings. I have San Francisco 32 in the power rankings. I have them as the worst team in the NFL.
Still? That's crazy.
So still, no, they actually moved down a spot because last week they were 31, but they're
better than the Texans, Titans, and Jaguars, Chester, for sure. Those three teams are the worst
team. Well, the Jaguars just won handily last week, which is why they moved up 32.
Who did they beat?
They beat the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't beat an NFL team. They beat EJ Manuel. They didn't beat the Bills.
Well, you know, since week one, when San Francisco had
that's not a real game. You can't even count that.
Well, look, since week one, San Francisco's been 1-5. And this is the biggest thing. On the road, they've been the worst team in the NFL. Every road game they've played, they've lost by 25 points.
Why are we discounting the fact that they killed Minnesota, who's a competent team?
I'm not, but that was in week one.
Have Jacksonville, Tennessee, or Houston done anything like that? They're the three worst teams. There's no argument.
Tennessee, you know, lost by one to Buffalo, and that was, you know, Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But Buffalo's a competent team.
They're a competent team without really like such a good quarterback, but that's an okay result.
Here's the thing. San Francisco on the road hasn't been within 20 points yet. So let's see them do that before they, you know, get to climb out of the bottom spot. And at home, our argument was that at home they weren't so bad.
Well,
you
this
know,
is they, a really they, bad matchup for them.
Yeah, so we thought at home they weren't so bad, and then they lost in a really ugly game to Seattle last week where they scored 3 points. And again, it's Kaepernick. Is he completely worthless or is he competent? St. Louis is not a team that it's going to be easy for him to be competent against them.
Right. So if and when the Rams win this week, then they go to 4-3, but they're here. Listen to their next games, Vikings, Bears, Ravens, which I guess you could say the Bears and Ravens aren't that good, but Vikings, Bears, Bears, Ravens, Bengals, Cardinals, you know, fine. And then Lions, Buccaneers, Seahawks, Niners, it gets easier in December. But They have, you know, they really have to get to 10, and I'm not sure they can do it, St. Louis.
Well, look, I never thought the Rams were a playoff team, but part of that is because I looked at their first 5 weeks and thought they'd be lucky to go 1-4, and they ended up going 2-3 because they won that game at Arizona. You know, they've, I mean, look, they do finally have a legitimate weapon on offense, which they obviously hadn't had in a while, but Todd Gurley is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, their offense has been abominable so far after week one, right? They scored 10 points against Washington and Green Bay, 6 points against the Steelers, 24 in the win against the Cardinals, 24 against the Browns. Like, but now that they have Gurley, it's like all bets are off, and I feel like they can do something.
Well, the problem is they still have no passing. I mean, Nick Foles still stinks. But against a team like San Francisco, I think that hopefully Gurley will be enough, and maybe Foles can play action and get one touchdown to Jared Cook or something. They're going to win this game probably like 20-7.
Okay, that's fair. 20-7.
Yeah.
Next.
All right. Next. And if San Francisco, by the way, loses by double digits again, they're staying in the 32 spot on my rankings. Okay, now we have Arizona at Cleveland. What is going on in Cleveland? Josh McCown looked really good. All of a sudden, Johnny Football was being arrested for, beating his girlfriend, not letting her out of the car. All of a sudden, McCown is an injury, and Johnny Football could be playing this week.
Yeah, I mean, you want Johnny Football playing, apparently, because he's apparently not great as a backup on the sideline. I think this game is a bloodbath. The worst team in the entire NFL that Johnny Football could play is the Cardinals, I think.
Yeah,
maybe the Patriots, but
if McCown was playing, I think I might have picked Cleveland in this game.
That's crazy.
Well, but why? Look how good Cleveland was with McCown. You know, they won in Baltimore. They lost at home in overtime to the Broncos.
Yeah.
So to stay close with Arizona did not look so good, 2 weeks ago on the road when they lost at Pittsburgh. Yeah. And then the week before that is, when they lost at home.
I mean, Arizona against the backup quarterback is like feeding time. That's going to be Cardinals are going to win. Yeah. They're going to cover everything.
Well, yeah, again, but that's because McCown might not be playing, but if McCown plays, assuming he's not playing for now, I'll say I'll pick Arizona as well. I'll agree with you on that one.
We'll re-record podcast if they discern he's playing.
Well, yeah, we're just going to record both versions now, and I'll retroactively delete it and upload the other one.
Okay, cool.
All right, now the next
by the way, we should mention that we did not do an NBA podcast.
Oh yeah, did anybody ask you?
We had zero requests for the NBA podcast.
That is correct, and I've actually noticed that. There's the biggest divergence in fandoms of major sports between, in my opinion, between football and basketball, which is surprising. You would think it's hockey, but like in other words, people who are hardcore football fans and people who are hardcore basketball fans. There's the least convergence between those two as between any other
of any of the
sports.
Four major sports. No, I think hockey.
Well, I think people would assume it's hockey. But I think the thing is that sort of more progressive younger types tend to like both the NBA and the NHL.
Also, we actually come from this weird, really weird background where people from our particularly in the Tri-State area, but people from our Orthodox Jewish background disproportionately are enormous hockey fans.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm from Minnesota. I'm not even a hockey fan. I'm a much bigger basketball fan.
Right. No, but you're not from the Tri-State area because hockey is the most popular youth sport by 1,000 miles for Jewish kids in New York and New Jersey.
Oh, because as opposed to Minnesota, where it's literally the biggest sport, high school, college, every single level. Like I'm saying, according to your argument, all the more so that I should be a big hockey.
Yeah, but
fan.
But we're talking about Orthodox Jews, whereas they're not playing it. So you've never played hockey, but.
Well, Orthodox Jews don't play hockey in New York. They play floor hockey.
Yeah, but it's a translatable sport. You go to a Rangers game and there's like 3,000 people with yarmulkes on.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that basketball fan NBA fandom in New York has just been murdered for over a decade by Isaiah
Thomas. It's true. And listen,
if you're talking about Jews in sports, traditionally Jews are like biggest in basketball. You know, like Jews controlled the first few years of the NBA.
Sure, historically, right. We were just replaced the Jewish commissioner with another Jewish commissioner.
Yeah. Well, we have Jewish commissioners in other sports, so that's not
that's true.
But like all the players in the first couple of years of the NBA were Jewish, and then when actual talented basketball players arrived on the scene, the Jews moved to the coaching ranks or the front office, I guess. But I just think that most people I know who are big fans of sports in New York and people who are mutual friends with just don't care about the NBA.
It's interesting. I do think it's because you're right that the Knicks are so bad.
Yeah, when I was in high school, everybody was a Knicks fan.
For whatever reason, the Rangers were able to keep their fan base, even though they were abysmal for like over a decade. Whereas the
in
Knicks,
a way that the Knicks didn't.
The Knicks didn't.
Well, but the Knicks weren't just bad. The Knicks
I'll tell you, part of it also is that there are three teams that have a bigger fan base than the second. Like, the Nets really didn't exist until like a couple years ago.
And
like,
Nets fans are
nobody our age is a Nets fan. Like, maybe younger kids, it would be trendy to be a Nets fan. But like, whereas the Islanders have like this big following that, like, you'll have friends who are Islander fans, and you know, it's a very quietly absolute, like, I mean, I guess it's not so quiet, but the Rangers and Islanders like hate each other as much as any team in any like major professional sports in the United States.
And the Devils are like, hey, what about us? But nobody cares.
No, nobody cares.
As we said last week, the Devils have 18,000 fans.
Yeah, right.
And during home games, they have 1,000 who aren't at the game.
That's true. That's my grandfather's line, he always says. But I think, what's it called? I don't know why we're talking about basketball, other than, my Spurs. First of all, I have Ricky Rubio on my fantasy team, so congratulations to you, because he was great last night.
That was a great game. And by the way, this is another thing I was going to say to you. I feel very little sympathy to you as a Mets fan for your, you know, what seems to be impending loss in the World Series, because most Mets fans I know, their primary teams are the Mets and the Jets.
Primary teams are the Mets and the Jets.
Yeah, but you're also a fan of the Spurs.
Yo, I have nine.
And UConn.
I have nine championships in basketball.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't. For some reason, living in New York, and I know the reason, but I'm just poking fun at you. You're a Spurs fan and a UConn fan. So you have had many championships. Different.
Those are my three. It's Jets, probably 1% over Mets at this point. And then, you know, a huge gap. And then UConn, probably the tiniest bit over the Spurs. But it's not the same, because I don't have friends who are like UConn and the Spurs fans to celebrate with. Like, when they win the championship, it's just like, okay, great, and now I get to go to sleep. Like, it's not the same as if the Mets would ever win, or if the Jets.
Yeah, well, you got to befriend some more Spurs fans or some more UConn folks. All right, so, but the next game on our schedule, and this is another one that you were way off on the line, and you're gonna have to explain to me why you were, is Minnesota at Chicago. So last week, as we said, the Vikings were favored by 2.5 in Detroit, and then they won, you know, much more easily than that by double digits. And Chicago's worse than Detroit. And so I learned my lesson, and I thought, well, last week was 2.5, this week it'll be 3. And so I guess the Vikings at Chicago 3, and I was right on the money. And you said Chicago by 3.
Yeah, I'm not great with predicting the spreads. But, I mean, the Vikings are allowing 17 points a game. So, you know, something's got to give here. The Bears aren't scoring at all. To me, the Vikings are going to win this game for sure.
Yeah, well, I agree. I revised, as I said, I thought the Vikings were going to lose last week, and I finally learned my lesson. The Vikings are going to beat bad teams. Again, forgetting about week one. They've won every game they've played, again, forgetting week one, except for the Denver game, which they lost, you know, because of a missed field goal, but, you know, they were close, and that was on the road against an undefeated team. So they're not going to lose to Chicago. And as we've also discussed about the Vikings, because their schedule gets much, much more difficult, they have to keep banking wins here if they want to have a shot at the playoffs. They're 4-2 right now. And the next three games, I think they really need to win all three of them. They're playing the Bears, and they're playing at home against the Rams, and then they're playing the Raiders. If they win that, they'll get to 7-2. And obviously, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But even if they win that at 7-2, I don't think they're a sure thing for the playoffs, because they could easily lose their next four games, which will be at Green Bay, at Atlanta, Seattle, and at Arizona. So they could go from 7-2 to 7-6 very easily, which means if they're not at 7-2, we're at the worst at 6-3. They have no chance at the playoffs. So, you know, this is a must win, but, you know, I think they will win. Chicago is one of the worst teams. You know, I would say they're probably the third worst team in the NFC, ahead of San Francisco, and then maybe Detroit. But I personally think Detroit's a little better than Chicago, but, you know, I could hear an argument either way.
It seems like their defense is getting better. And I mean,
Bears?
No, the Vikings defense getting better. And
the Vikings defense has been very good all year. The offense, the problem is, again, the offensive line has been so bad.
I mean, Blair Walsh is hitting field goals again now.
Oh, yeah. He had two. Well, he missed an extra point against Detroit, but he had 250-plus-yard field goals, so I can't complain about Blair Walsh this week. Adrian Peterson historically always destroys the Bears.
Yeah, you guys have not won in Chicago since 2007.
Yeah, but there's been a couple of really crazy games in there.
Can you name the three players who were on the Vikings when they last won a game in Chicago?
In 2000, there's only three?
Yeah, three guys who were there. It's 8 years.
Okay, well, Peterson, obviously.
Yep.
I remember that game. Who are still on the team, you're saying?
Still on the team, yeah.
Oh, so Chad Greenway would be another one?
Yeah.
And, who's the third longest tenured Viking? It's defense, right?
I don't think so, no.
Oh. Oh, it's an offensive lineman? Really? Who? Who's the third one?
Brian Robeson.
Oh, yeah, Robeson's a defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, he is defense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot about Robeson. Because he wasn't a relevant part of the team in 07, but that was probably his rookie year, actually. Anyway, so I think they're going to win this game fairly easily, and they really have to keep banking these wins to have a shot, especially because, as we said, Carolina and Atlanta both already have 6 wins. All right, now another game. You know, I said I sort of called Kansas City the Detroit of the AFC, but the other two options for that would be San Diego and Baltimore. They're playing each other. To me, this was an obvious Baltimore by 3 because they're at home and both teams are the same and they're disappointing. You know, Baltimore lost another game by single digits, which has happened to them every single game this year. You know, they had some valid complaints with some of the officiating in that game. I thought that the Chris Johnson play, his feet never touched the ground, but that should have been forward progress, right?
Probably.
I mean, John Harbaugh made the point that if one of his players comes in and hits Johnson there, he's going to get a penalty for a late flag.
Right.
For a late
true.
Hit.
Yeah.
And then the other one where they said Urschel didn't report was just insane because everybody saw him report. You know,
The Ravens end the season with Steelers and the Bengals. Is it possible that in the next 7 games they could get themselves into the race by going 6-1?
Well, what we said about them, and it's still true, is every single game they've had has been down to the wire, and they've lost, you know, right at the end of the game.
After the Chargers, they have the Jaguars and the Rams at home, in Cleveland and Miami, and then hosting Seattle and KC.
If I had to guess, I would guess Baltimore ends the season about 7-9. So if you reverse just a couple of those, I guess that means they could still be around at the end of the season. You know, it's tough because they keep, you know, Steve Smith was asked why he would refuse a trade. And he said, well, because that implies that our season's over. And I don't think it is. And on the one hand, you say, oh, well, you know, it's a valid thing for him to say, but he's full of shit. But on the other hand, again, they've been in every single game, including against good teams. So to think that they can't win all these games, you know, I think they could. But in San Diego has looked worse than Baltimore has. Now, San Diego's also probably looked a little bit better at times. But I think Baltimore's going to win this game just because I think Baltimore's the better. I thought Baltimore was a better team before the season. And frankly, I think Baltimore's been the better team in most games this year. You know, so.
Yeah, I have Baltimore winning also.
All right. Okay. So let's get to the best game of the week. That's Cincy at Pittsburgh. There was no line on this game because Roethlisberger was out. But I thought with Roethlisberger back, it's a Pittsburgh by 3. You know, Cincinnati's been, you know, one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the NFL, but Pittsburgh's also been really good. They have their quarterback back. They're at home. These teams are even. And everybody else, by which I mean you and Sal and Bill, all had Cincy favored, you know, had there been a line. So I think Pittsburgh's winning this game. What about you?
Pittsburgh's going to win, no question. They might blow Cincy's doors off.
So you thought Cincy was going to be a slight favorite, but just based on what they've done so far this year, but you still think Pittsburgh's going to win?
Oh, yeah, I think Pittsburgh is for sure going to win this game.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to blow their doors off. I think, look, at a certain point, if a guy's been the best quarterback in the NFL through 7 weeks, you have to give him some props. And that's exactly what Dalton's been. But, you know, I think that – also, I think this is almost like it's wishful thinking on our part. We want Pittsburgh to win because if they lose, they're 4-4, since he's 7-0 with a win at Pittsburgh and another game at home to come, that division's basically over. Whereas if Pittsburgh wins, you know, they'll still be down 2, but they'll have the tiebreaker and it's very much alive. So we definitely, I think we're rooting for Pittsburgh just to you know, have a competitive division.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I don't love the Steelers, but from just like a neutral football standpoint, it would be cool. I mean, it would also be cool if you have all these teams going 7-0 and 8-0, but I just realistically think in Pittsburgh, this is a game Pittsburgh is going to win.
Yeah, well, and also Pittsburgh, you know, we were marveling at the fact that even with Roethlisberger out, they had won all their games except for, you know, the missed field goal game that they just lost to Baltimore. But then they looked really bad last week at Kansas City. They let Charkandrick, there's like 4 extra syllables in there, I think, West, run for 120 yards, and he's a nobody. And their offense, look, they had Landry Jones, so you can't ask for much, but he had looked better against better teams like Arizona, so.
They've had Roethlisberger and Bill together for 1 game.
Yeah, well, so now they
in
have.
In fairness, they scored 12 points that game.
Yeah, but when did Roethlisberger get injured in the St. Louis game?
I don't remember how far into the game he got hurt.
All right, but it's Roethlisberger,
right, so it's a part of a game,
and all their receivers, you know, I think this is going to be
at the very
really
end because Vic threw the last six passes. Roethlisberger had threw the first 24.
Yeah, but this will be the best game of the week. I think this will be better than Green Bay at Denver, but we'll get to that one in a second. Mm-hmm. You know, the toilet bowl for the claim on who's the worst team in the NFL with Jacksonville on a bye this week. It's Tennessee at Houston. There was no line on that one.
I have
one.
No opinion on this game, really.
Yeah. I, you know, Ryan Mallett.
I want to, next week, can we do coach power rankings as like the mechanism for doing our picks?
Sure. Are we doing it like power rankings based on what they've done this year? Or, like, in other words...
No, like that's too narrow. I just in general, like... Who you'd want to have as your coach.
Yeah. I don't have strong opinions about a lot of these coaches I don't know much about. But sure, we can definitely do
that. And also we'll talk about the odds of each one getting fired at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, Bill O'Brien... Well, look, this is the thing. Brian Mallett was such a malcontent and a jerk on...
He was a malcontent. Sorry.
There you go. But he was so pathetic this season on Hard Knocks. And he just seemed like a jerk. And then when he no shows the day after he's announced as that he's not starting week one, he seemed like such a loser. And then the fact that O'Brien goes back to him in game one, that was the moment when I thought, boy, Bill O'Brien is a terrible coach. You have the entire offseason, all four preseason games to decide who your starting quarterback is. And then because he doesn't do great in three quarters, you give up on him immediately.
How did he last 3 years on the Patriots? Is this like how Steven Jackson?
Mallett?
Is this how like Steven Jackson would go to the Spurs and be normal for a year at a time?
Are you talking about Mallett?
Yeah.
So what's good years. Practice?
Three? How did he last? Like, did he make it to practice on time?
So maybe it's a case of when he was in New England, he was behind Tom Brady. He knew that he wasn't going to be playing, and so he didn't have to be a jerk about it. But then he gets to Houston, and he thinks, oh, I'm the shit. This is my team.
So he's like, he's got some Manziel in him. You're saying.
Yeah, I just think he has an ego, and he, you know, he doesn't have enough ego. He's not insane. He doesn't think he's better than Tom Brady, but he thinks he's better than Brian Hoyer. And look, Brian Hoyer has never been anything impressive. Although this year, Brian Hoyer, as we've said, he's been a top five quarterback statistically, which again makes the fact that O'Brien pulled him in week one even more
also,
pathetic.
Also, a couple crazy quarterback decisions that were made that are worth discussing. The number one, the Texans needed the roster spot. And they IR'd their third-string quarterback, Tom Savage, who like people think is an actual decent prospect, who's probably eventually going to get a chance in the NFL to play.
Didn't they re-sign him this week?
No, because he's on IR. They can't re-sign him.
Oh.
So that was TJ Yates. TJ Yates.
Oh, Yates. Yeah,
so,
sorry.
Anyway, because they wanted to keep like a third-string tight end or something, they got rid they IR'd Tom Savage. Which is insane because, like, if they were bad, he should have played the last two, three games of the year. And you never, like, stop playing games with quarterbacks. Like, there's so much. All we've ever learned is that a QB is so much more important than any other position. It's so crazy. Like, when these teams, like, don't bother with backups, so you have Blaine Gabbert as a backup or, you know, or Brandon Whedon as a backup. And then, like, a guy, you know, when you have no quarterback, which the Texans clearly had and they had an open competition, you know, how do you IR Savage, who right now would basically be starting in 2 weeks if he was on the team? And the same thing with the Cowboys. The Cowboys put Romo on short-term IR, and I don't know if have you seen this, but Romo's going to be able to play in week 10 probably, and he's not even eligible to play till week 11. Why? How could you ever risk putting Tony Romo in a spot where he couldn't play a game where in theory he could play, right? Give up
I thought it was wishful thinking. I thought it was wishful thinking that he'd be able to be back by Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay, that's fine. But now that he's ready.
But if there's even a chance, you're saying.
It's crazy to have Romo, not like it's if you had to do with Dez, fine. It's a receiver. It's 1 week. Like to have to play one more week with Matt Cassel because you made basically a clerical error is insane.
Yeah, well, Dez Bryant is back this week, and we'll see what he does. You know, he'll have Richard Sherman if he goes to the right side of the field, but we'll get to that game in a minute. Tennessee at Houston, I'm going to pick Houston, and my reason is very simply because Hoyer has been good and because Zach Mettenberger is not.
Yeah,
make a pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Houston also. You're right. Mettenberger's never won a game. I think he's 0-7.
All right. Okay, so now let's go back.
Is Mariota definitely not playing in that game?
I think that Mettenberger's playing. I'm not positive. Okay, look, you're asking me to pay too much attention to Tennessee.
Okay,
fair. Seattle at Dallas. Seattle looked like they got on the right track again, although we said that after the Bears game, and then they turned around and lost again. you know, beating the Bears and the San Francisco, two of the worst teams in the league, by a combined 43 points is really all that they've done this year. Now they get a Matt Castle team in Dallas. Dallas has lost every single game since Romo left, and so even with Dez back, there's no reason to think they're going to reverse that this week against Seattle, right?
No, there's no reason to think that they should reverse it. The quarterback situation is too bad to go up against a solid defense. It's funny because on paper, you know, the NFL really got screwed with the Romo injury.
Yeah, because they have Dallas on primetime every week. Half of the year.
And Seattle, Dallas, just like New England, Dallas a couple weeks ago, was one of their marquee games of the whole season. And now, to be honest, and I'm biased because I'm a Jet fan, the Jets Raiders game is at least as good of a game as Dallas Seattle. And
remember, Dallas won.
Nobody's going to watch that game. Yeah. You know, Dallas, listen, Dallas could beat anybody any week when they have Romo. So, you know, that's why another reason why it's great to have them in these primetime games. But this is a garbage game now. And the Jets Raiders is not going to be seen by anybody who, you know, watches TV the old fashioned way, unless you live in New York.
Well, I think Seattle Dallas is actually gonna be a close game. And I was way off on the line. I had Seattle favored only by 3. Everybody else was at 6 or 7, which is correct. It opened at 6. Again, Seattle just hasn't earned enough credit, I don't think. They will win this game, but I think the Dallas will be able to keep it close. I have Dez on my fantasy team and I held on to him for 8 weeks, so I'm glad to have him back. Hopefully he does something. And I've always thought it was a little curious that Seattle just keeps Sherman on that one side of the field.
Yeah.
Instead of having him follow around a receiver the way that Revis does.
Revis, who from weeks 2 to 6 allowed 10 yards total.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Revis.
He definitely has slipped, by the way. He's certainly nowhere near where he was in 2009, where he, in a 3-week stretch, had more touches than the receivers he was covering. But
Let's talk about that game. So the Jets went to Oakland.
I'm very curious what you have to say about this game, because I'm so pessimistic sometimes about these Jets that it's almost hard for me to.
Well, first of all, don't the Jets play at Oakland every single year?
The Jets had a 10-year stretch where they played at Oakland every year. Yes.
And even when Oakland wasn't good, I think Oakland would do fine in those games.
We have not historically had a lot of. We went to Oakland 2 straight years in the playoffs in 2001 and 2002 and lost.
Well, we all four of the spread guessers guessed that Oakland would be favored, and the Jets are actually favored. So maybe we were a little bit too influenced by a win at.
Well, Ari Gold had a good stat that the teams Raiders have beaten are 5 and whatever.
Yeah. Well, I actually so my dad has been going overboard with the Vikings, and he sent me power rankings that had them 6 in the league.
When are we having your dad on the show?
We'll have him as a Vikings guest. But so I said to my dad, I said, look at the record of the teams the Vikings have beaten this year, and I think. Or have played this year, other than Denver, and I think their record of their other 5 games, they played Detroit twice, so count Detroit twice. I think it's 8-27. So the Vikings haven't really played anybody either. Oakland hasn't played anybody, but they have 2 really good receivers. Apparently, Michael Crabtree, who he was really good the second half of that initial season with Kaepernick, and then other than that, he was either injured or bad.
Yeah, well, maybe he's never had a quarterback other than that. You know, the Super Bowl year.
Well, look, Kaepernick now he's on pace for 90 catches.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I was all over Crabtree in almost every fantasy league. Early, and then of course, on the other side.
And they have Latavius Murray. They have Derek. This is a team that has an offense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a foundation of an actual NFL team between Mack and Cooper. And you were so down on Carr in the preseason. What's your new take on Carr?
Well, he's been better than he was last year, for sure. He's a guy he can throw you into a game. You know, he's not as trustworthy,
The thing is, in this game, and I know the Raiders pass the ball a lot. Carr threw the most passes in the NFL, I think, last year.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Jets run defense is so unbelievably good. And last week, Tom Brady was the Patriots' leading rusher. And their only real running back who was active, ran, I think, 3 times for 3 yards or something. Is Oakland going to be able to commit to not running? I mean, unless in the unlikely event, Latavius Murray can actually gain yardage on them. Because if you commit to the run and don't give it up against the Jets, you're going to lose because, they have 4 of the top 10 run defensive linemen in the NFL. And I'm being generous when I say that. It might be 4 of the top 6. And
it's funny because the Patriots, and as we discussed last week, we both have both of the Patriots running backs in fantasy. And then when Deion Lewis was inactive at the last second, you had to start Blunt. But I should have known. I remember a couple of years
negative
ago.
Negative last week in fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. He did, certainly. And I remember when the Vikings had, you know, that historically great run defense year after year, about 6-7 years ago, and the Patriots had a game at Minnesota. And it was similar to, I guess, what they did against the Jets, except even more extreme. They only attempted 4 runs the entire game, and I think 3 of them were Brady runs. And then one was like an 8-yard end around. And so that guy led the team in rushing, which is why it wasn't Brady who did it for the first time ever last week. But yeah, when the Patriots play a team that has a really good run defense, they don't even bother. They're like, all right, we're just going to throw the ball 50 times. And they win. So it works.
Right. So their wins are against San Diego, Cleveland, and Baltimore, all close games. Their losses are a blowout against Cincy and close games in Chicago and Denver. So we don't really know much about them yet. There's no result there that really stands out as, oh, they're good, or oh, they're probably not good. I'm a little scared of them, to be honest, and I'm going to pick the Raiders to win the game.
I have the Raiders in my power rankings at number 17 right now.
Yeah, and where do you have the Jets? 16?
No, I have the Jets at 10.
Oh, wow. This is really a huge game in the battle for the sixth spot, though.
All right, Akiva. So I have the Raiders at 17 in my power rankings this week,
yeah,
which is pretty good, obviously, for the Raiders. The last time I had the Raiders this high was in 2011.
Wow. All right. So you're picking the Raiders to win this game?
Well, so I'm saying this is the best the Raiders have been in 5 years.
Yeah.
So it is a great story if you're a Raiders fan. And
because this is your last hurrah with the team.
Yeah, well, but if you're a Raiders fan, you're still a Raiders fan if they move down to LA, right?
Yeah, probably. If you're a Cardinals fan, and this is like a St. Louis Rams fan, I mean, and this is like your, you know, you had the Cardinals, and then you had, I feel like they're just going to quit on football unless they somehow get like
an
expansion.
The Rams are also only there for 20 years, so it's not like right. The Rams showed up in 95, and then they left in 2015.
Yeah, and the Chargers fans don't exist to begin with, which is why they're the, like, if the Chargers move to LA, and that's the only thing that happens, or the Raiders move to LA, I think that's fine. Like, I'm not as confident as most people that long-term LA can support two teams, but I think the Chargers should move to LA, the Raiders should stay, and definitely the Rams should stay.
Well, I think Oakland's going to win also. You know, I don't feel confident about that. I could see it either way, but I would have to...
Let's talk about the night games.
Oh, yeah, so let's get to Green Bay at Denver. That's a really good game. Although, I was way off on the line. I had Denver favored. They're 6-0. They're at home. But Green Bay's favored. And look, it makes sense. Denver has not been impressive for an undefeated team.
No. As of last week, they were the number 32 DVOA offense, meaning the worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they stayed in 32nd this week. But the... What's it called? The Packers... I'm not sure. Some weeks I think, oh, the Packers are like this, you know, incredible juggernaut. And some weeks they're just like they're the best team in the NFC, but like nothing more than that. So I am curious to see if they could punch, you know, Manning in the mouth this week and if they could really win this game by a lot.
Yeah. You know, when I told my dad the Vikings hadn't played anybody, he said, well, who have the Packers played? And the Packers haven't played anybody either, really. I mean, you know, they beat St. Louis, they beat Seattle, but those
and DVOA has them as the worst 6-0 team ever, by the way.
The Broncos.
Yeah, and it has the Jets as the number 5 team in the league, although it does like the Raiders at number 13. It has the Broncos at 11 and the Packers at 3, New England 1, and my beloved Arizona 2, and Miami Dolphins at 14. Listen, the Dolphins-Cardinals Super Bowl is happening.
You haven't given up on that one yet.
I'd like to see, I need to see something this week for Miami against New England, because that's the team they're going to have to beat in the playoffs.
Yep. All right, so let's... So, you have Green Bay winning that at Denver?
And by the way, DVOA agrees with you that the Niners are the worst team. I have Green Bay winning, yes.
Well, I'm going to pick the Broncos. This is my last hurrah with Peyton Manning. But partly just because, again, Green Bay hasn't really beaten anybody. They were still covering the spread every game until last week in San Diego before their bye. But I think that Denver's defense can really pressure them, and it'll be hard for them to score points. And Denver will get, you know, they'll get 7 points maybe on defense or on special teams. I think it'll be relatively low scoring, lower than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Denver will sneak out like a 20-17 win. But that's another one I don't have a lot of confidence in. And now let's get to this last game of the week, which ESPN has been hyping way too much. You know, former number one picks. Andrew Luck is terrible. The Colts are terrible. We've been making fun of
him. He's not terrible. He's just injured, right?
Well, I don't know. There are only 3 wins or 3 very, very close games against their awful division opponents.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're 0-4. and they're about to be 0-5.
I think Carolina's pretty good. It's a shame that they don't have a receiver, because I do think they're going to be exposed in the playoffs, because how is Newton going to be able to move the ball when they're down 7? But I do think, like, how is Jonathan Stewart, who must be like 52 at this point, like still doing what he's doing? I have the Panthers winning this game, and I think the Panthers are probably going to get the second bye, right?
Well, no.
But we'll pick this game and let's talk playoffs, because let's wrap this up.
Okay, yeah. So I think the Panthers are going to win easily. I think that Pagano, Gregson, I think they're both going to be gone by the end of the year. I just don't think you can fire them in the middle of the year, because this,
well, do you think it's interesting? Because I've heard, like, Bill and Sal this week were saying that Pagano stinks, and I don't think he stinks. I think Gregson stinks, and Pagano might be a decent coach. I mean, you want to point back now to, like, you know, Arians was really sort of like, you know, he won Coach of the Year with Pagano's team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think
I've stopped giving Pagano as much credit as I did before. Mm-hmm. I still think that, you know, Gregson is the biggest problem there.
Yeah,
but you asked the 2 seed. So I think Carolina's okay. I don't love them. I have them finishing.
Yeah, but who's taking that 2 seed ahead of them? Is it Arizona?
Well, right now I have Seattle at 11-5, winning a tiebreaker over Arizona at 11-5 for the division and the 2 seed.
And what do you have Carolina at?
And then I have Atlanta at 11-5 as a 3 seed. I have Arizona as the 5 seed at 11-5, as I said, losing the tiebreaker.
Oh, so those are your playoff teams, Carolina, Atlanta with Arizona, Seattle, the Packers, and then who's winning the NFC East?
The Giants at 9-7.
But okay, so I would agree with everything.
But here's the thing. So I have the Vikings at 10-6 also, tied with Carolina at 10-6.
Wow.
I have them both at 7-5 in the conference. I have them both at...
So you're doing pretend tiebreakers to like the fourth
tiebreaker. Oh, I do... Not only do I do pretend tiebreakers to the fourth tiebreaker, I do pretend tiebreakers to the fourth tiebreaker every week and then update it based on results.
Did you hide this stuff from your wife when you were dating her?
So, you know that scene in A Beautiful Mind when she goes into the garage and sees the stuff all over the walls?
Yeah.
Jen has analogized my charts to
but
that.
She know about this, like, to the extent while you were dating?
Well, we dated for 5 years. So we dated, you know, we dated so long that eventually it was sort of just a foregone conclusion.
You wore her down. I get it.
Yeah. anyways, so I have the Vikings at Carolina at 2-3 against common opponents. And so I have Carolina over the Vikings by the fourth tiebreaker, which is point differential right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the AFC, it's the same situation. I have the Jets finishing 8-8, and I have San Diego bouncing back to finish 8-8, although I have them losing this week, but then they're going to win a bunch in the second half of the season. They're going to end up 8-8. Both teams are going to be 6-6 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams are going to be 4-1 against common opponents, but I have the Jets winning the point differential tiebreaker over the Chargers. So I have the Jets as the 6th seed.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say I have the Patriots 1, Broncos 2, Bengals 3, Colts
9-7,
Colts 4, Steelers 5, and I think those are pretty locked in. And I'm going to say whoever wins the Jets-Raiders game this week is looking good, but I'm going to say the Dolphins get the 6th seed.
Well, you know, it's possible because, look, as I said, I have the Jets in San Diego at 8-8, and then I have a whole host of teams at 7-9. I have Baltimore, Buffalo, Miami, Kansas City still. So any of those teams, obviously, they just get one extra win, and all of a sudden they're in that tiebreaker.
Baltimore's got to go 8-0 to get to 9-7. So
here's the problem for the Dolphins. I have the Dolphins going 0-6 in the division.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and part of that is because they already lost at home to Buffalo. They lost at home, quote-unquote, to the Jets.
Right.
So, assuming those teams can hold serve and win back in New York and New Jersey, and then, you know, Dolphins would have, if they can't beat the Patriots. So, I have the Dolphins at 0-6 in the division, and so I have them going 7-3 the rest of the way. But when you go 0-6 in the division, you're not making the playoffs. Because remember, for divisional opponents, the first tiebreaker is division. So, the Dolphins, in order to, you know, be able to compete for a team in another division for a wild card, they would first have to have a better record than the Jets and the Bills, because those teams are almost certainly going to have better divisional records. Even if the Dolphins don't go 0-6, they're going to have a losing record in the division, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost, they're 0-2, and both those games were at home. So they're not going to have a winning divisional record. So the Dolphins are going to, I just think it's too hard to make the playoffs when you've already lost at home to your two lesser division mates. If they beat the Patriots tonight, of course, then we'll have to restate all of this.
Okay.
So let's wait and see what happens tonight, Akiva. Good luck to your Jets this week at Oakland. And more importantly, good luck to the Mets. And see what you can do to help them get a couple of wins at home against Kansas City so that we can have an interesting World Series.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Have a good night, everyone.